Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 184 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric. Go for the gold, Wahlquist. Joining me this week, the Olympian of the Year, none other than my co-host and the other guy who talks on the show. His name is...
Jesse, I thought we were still doing the sound check, Wilson. You snuck that one in on me.
I did.
I like it. Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, you have no way of knowing. Anyway, Jesse, how's
it going? Yeah, you just were going for it. I was like, I think this might be the real show.
It is the real show. You know, we don't always have to have like an hour of banter beforehand. It really cuts down on recording time.
Yeah, I like
we
it.
We just get
speedy.
To it. Yeah, plus we save all our meaty morsels from our pre-show and
ooh,
put them in the real show.
Let's really not call them meaty morsels.
I think that we can all agree that all we have are meaty morsels on this show.
Yeah.
Meaty morsels, pop culture, nerd culture, and more meaty
has there
morsels.
Ever been a woman on this podcast? Oh, Abby
yeah.
Heppy. Okay.
Abby Heppy, my wife, your wife.
Okay.
My wife's friend.
That's my wife on the podcast?
Drunken Married Pilot episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she also used to sit and listen to us record.
Right.
That's how I knew she was a keeper, because she would just sit there quietly. That came out wrong. She could just spend time in the nerddom. She could spend time in the nerddom without being repulsed, which is tough.
Well, we're safely out of the misogynist zone,
yeah.
I think.
It's a tough task to be in the nerd zone for that long. And she weathered that storm heartily.
That's true.
Anyway, Jesse, how was your week?
Good. Went and checked out an apartment today to maybe move into.
Cool.
That's exciting.
PT apartment hunting.
Uh-huh. So that's like my number one thing, is I want it to be big.
It's a big apartment.
It's three bedrooms.
Jeepers, creepers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get anything like that in Seattle for anything less than an arm and a leg.
I am willing to negotiate my firstborn.
Yeah, I've seen her. She's not that great.
Yeah, I can take her to leave it.
I'm betting 1,000 with your family members right now. I had a pretty good weekend. It's Lydia's birthday, so we gave her a fantastic lady day, which included a manicure.
Mm-hmm. It included, well, it's got man right in the name, so I don't know if it counts.
It's true. It included the manicure. It also included going and seeing The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
So that was cool. Because he really wanted to do that. And then had a delicious dinner, including anchovies. And we went to like a Basque restaurant. So they had like, anchovies. They had a foie gras. It was delicious.
I've never had foie gras.
Oh, it's so good. It's illegal in California, which makes it even better because then it's like a forbidden fruit.
Right. It's goose liver, right?
It is goose liver. This was seared, though. It was like grilled foie gras. It was really good. But on the menu, they had cuttlefish.
Uh-oh.
And I am like a adventurous eater. I want to eat every animal on earth, but I could not bring myself to order the cuttlefish. Because I love it too much. I think I draw
screw
the line.
Screw the goose.
Yeah, screw the goose. I mean,
screw a goose, save a cuttlefish. That's my bumper sticker.
Exactly. It's also my favorite Big and Rich song. But, you know, I think all of us at one point in our lives were attacked by a goose.
No, not me.
Really?
I've known a lot of people have been attacked by waterfowl, but it's never happened to me.
You actually do a podcast with one.
Yeah.
Because I was a child, the goose came up to my eye, and I was holding some bread. I remember it vividly. It was a big white goose, and it knocked me on my ass, and I was like 3 years old. So ever since then, I'm like, I'm going to eat your liver, you damn goose. I'm just going to eat your fucking liver.
Yeah. I will be the Zeus's falcon to your Prometheus.
Exactly.
For eternity.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking my homebrew, man. My beer de garde. It's tasting fine.
It's always good, man.
Tasting fine.
Your homebrews are... delish.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, since I am a professional brewer, I really only homebrew if it's going to be good. So, like, I put a lot of energy into my homebrews because it's like, what's the point otherwise? I brew every day and I get as much free beer as I can possibly drink. Mm-hmm. So, I might as well try and knock it out of the park when I'm homebrewing.
There you go. Well, you do. I will always drink a Jesse Wilson homebrew.
Thank you.
Although, I'm not doing it right now. Right now, I'm drinking the Alaska Free Ride APA.
I like that beer.
Love it. It's in my top five drinkers right now. It's like up there with Red Chair and Alchemy Ale from Widmer Brothers. This is like right in that sweet spot.
Yeah, I think it's it might be that you have a certain style that you like.
I think I might.
I think that might be part of it.
Although if you drink them next to each other, there are pretty vast differences between
the especially
three.
The Alchemy. But Alchemy is a pretty big beer.
Yeah, but at the same time, I get kind of that same happy feeling from all of them. So
that would be the booze.
Oh. I guess that is the universal ingredient.
Yeah.
Also, we have dedications. Jess, do you have anybody to dedicate this episode to?
I actually hadn't thought about it. Can I throw one out to you? Because I have been following your footsteps.
Okay.
I watched the Lego movie.
Yeah.
And I've been playing Hearthstone.
Yeah.
So I've basically been doing all the things that you recommended last week and been really enjoying it.
Eric's Double Recco Weekend.
Yeah.
Well, so you liked both of those.
Yeah, I felt like the Lego movie was maybe like 20 minutes too long, but besides that, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I went and saw The Hobbit.
How long is it?
It's like pushing three. I don't know
what
the exact
is this moment. New trend of really long movies.
Well, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings kind of established that, but they were taking a book, like a 900-page book, and then turning that into a 3-hour movie. This is taking a 200-page book and turning it to 3 3-hour movies.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And you know, it was like every Tolkien movie. I'm not like the biggest fan of the Tolkien movies. But it followed the formula. It's very fun. It's got that adventure that you find in a Lord of the Rings campaign. And then at the same time, it's just a little too long. It's about a half hour too long.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's apparently the theme this week, and hopefully the podcast won't follow suit. Personal Arrogance Podcast. It'd be great, but it's about half an hour too long each week.
That's actually the new slogan. Not a half hour too long. All right,
30 minutes in the middle, and you'll be good.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, actually, we're lean on listener feedback this week. We did get a ton of Facebook Roundup topics, but of course, we saved those for the end of the show. So, I guess we could just jump right into this, man.
Yeah, I got my galoshes on, ready to hit that puddle.
Let's do it. All right, we're each going to roll a 20-sided dice. Who gets to speak first on the podcast this week?
I rolled a 6.
Okay, I rolled a 9.
Well, streaky.
Streaky, streaky. Streaker, streaky, I won. Okay, that means that we're going to do... What are we going to do? We're going to do video games.
Here we go!
Finish him! So while Lydia was at the Manny Petty studio, Manny Petty, he is the second baseman for the Mariners. while she was at the studio, I was sitting there and I had about a half hour to peruse their rating material. The Manny Petty studio is actually a very good place for a dude to wait because they've spread out. Of course, they have the OK magazine, which you would need to read if you're getting a pedicure. But they also have just like Time magazine. They had plenty of like general reading magazines. So I picked up the latest issue of Time magazine, which is so thin now. It's like 12 pages. I think a comic book has more pages than Time magazine does.
Wow, that's weird. Can we talk about this real quick?
Sure.
Like the magazine selection at places. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to like when I got my muffler replaced, all they had were like car related stuff.
Right. It's they like Car and Driver.
I'm not here because I love cars. And in fact, if I was here and I did love cars, there's plenty of stuff for me to enjoy, like right. cars. All the reading material doesn't have to be all car related.
I know. And then like they have one TV and it's showing like the auto channel.
Oh, there was no TV.
Oh, okay.
It was. I actually turned it over to like the Jehovah's Witness propaganda that was in there.
Oh.
Reading about the Watchtower and stuff, because I don't care about cars. Throw something in there for the non-car lover.
Well, they have the Jehovah's Witness. I mean, there's two people in this world. There's car lovers and there's Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's true.
I think we could all agree.
So you're reading the Time Magazine.
I'm reading Time Magazine, and they actually had the most recent issue of Time Magazine. Like, it came out this week. And so I was like, this is really relevant and timely. It's almost news, so let's read it. Yeah. So I was perusing through, and they had an article in there. I think we all know at this point that Nintendo has fallen on hard times. The Wii U is very close to becoming a failed console.
Is it?
Yeah.
It was underperforming, but I didn't know it was like Somalia bad.
It's pretty bad. They had it's Mogadishu bad. They had they had a recent poll at the GDC, at the Game Developers Conference, and it said that 1% of the game developers polled said that they were making their next game for Wii U.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So they got a 1 year head start on Xbox One and PS4, and they really couldn't capitalize on it. I mean, I think that they thought they'd roll out the Wii U and you'd get all the people who owned a Wii to buy the Wii U. The Wii was a crazy console. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like the Wii again. Like, my parents bought a Wii. There were grandparents. There were nursing homes. Like, everybody bought a Wii.
It was a cultural phenomenon, for sure.
Yeah. And I just don't think that that's going to be happening.
I didn't even know. I thought the Wii U to the Wii was like the Xbox Slim to the Xbox 360. I didn't realize it was supposed to be its own next generation console.
No,
I thought it was like an upgrade or something.
Yeah, they had terrible marketing for it.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And when I don't know that this is an actual new console, not just a new iteration of your last console, I should be one of the people that understands this.
Yeah.
Maybe it shows my aging or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, they had a very soft launch culturally for the Wii U. And I think a lot of people thought that it was just like a black Wii, because it looked like a Wii, except it was black and it had rounded edges. And then you have like the tablet controller thing, but
yeah, I seriously thought like, oh, I could just buy one of those and play on my Wii. I could like dig out my old Wii and
I'm pretty sure you can use
tablets, and I have a Wii U.
I'm pretty sure you could use the Wii controllers on the Wii U.
That's fine. I'm probably not going to.
Yeah. So anyway, I think Nintendo's in a little bit of a rut now. They've reported 3 straight years of operating losses at this point, and it's looking bad. I mean, it's looking, you know, Sega went through a similar thing. They released a Dreamcast and then they died.
Right.
You know, so the question here is how do you pull Nintendo out of this muck that they've gotten themselves into? And, the Time Magazine, they had like 5 different things. Some of them I agreed with, some of them I didn't. Some of them were saying that you know, they need to move away from the DS and they need to offer their games on iPad.
Absolutely not.
And I was like, that's not the Nintendo model, man.
No.
No.
They'll make a killing selling their $60 titles for $1 each.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a few things that were, I think, missed the mark and didn't really understand the brand that Nintendo has. I mean,
that's what I was going to say about Nintendo is, even if we use a failure, their handhelds are still pretty popular. I really want a 2DS.
Oh,
I want one.
Yeah, their handhelds are popular. They're selling apparently less than they anticipated them to, but they're basically what's keeping the company afloat right now.
Right.
The other thing that Nintendo has is they have strong IPs.
That's the other thing I was going to say. Maybe 1% of third parties are going to develop, but they still got Zelda and Mega Man, or
Mario.
Metroid, I mean, and Mario, and
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, they have a ton of their first-party titles that they can release, and people are going to be like, you know what? I really want that.
Yeah, I mean, And so this is one of the ideas that they put forth in the article in Time Magazine, was that they use their license, they start licensing their properties more. They they utilize these strong IPs to generate revenue. And there's always a risk in that because you can oversaturate. You can have, you know, your Mario soap bar of soap and, anyway, you could oversaturate the market.
Right.
But one of the ideas that they put forth is, why don't they build a theme park? This is something that Lego's done. This has obviously been a huge deal for Disney. I mean, I think it's like 25% of Disney's businesses is resorts and tourism.
Right.
So I think that we should go back to a very popular topic here on the Personal Arrogance Podcast. Mm-hmm. Eric and Jesse make a theme park.
I love it.
Let's save Nintendo tonight, Jesse, and let's design this theme park that is definitely going to work.
It's so easy to name, too.
What is it?
Super Mario World.
I like it. I like Super Mario World. Although, are you pigeonholing yourself with that name?
No, because you can do all the other Nintendo stuff, too.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, Mario is their strongest asset, I guess, what you want to call it. People know Mario, and it'd just be funny because, hey, it's Super Mario World.
It's me. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you could call it like Super Nintendo World.
Yeah, I don't like that as much.
Or you could call it Wii U World.
Yeah, that's what they would do. They'd call it Wii U DS, a platforming platform.
So there's so many things because, you know, if you want to divvy this up Disney style into different lands, there's like, that's one thing that Nintendo's done so well with its IPs is create places for their characters to live in, right?
Yeah,
so
totally.
You have Donkey Kong Country, you have Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, they're already geographically named.
Exactly. You have, you know, Super Mario Land. What's the area, where's Zelda take place?
Hyrule.
Okay, so you got that. you know, you have your sci-fi land where you could have Metroid and Star Fox.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be great. You could pioneer new rides, like platforming rides. I don't even know how you would do that.
It'd be like Takeshi's Castle or Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Yeah, I love it. And
radical.
It's just a platforming challenge, but everything's padded, and you like fall.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get hurt.
Right. Oh, I love
it. Yeah, like the guy comes out dressed as Bowser and pushes you into some GAC. Nintendo owns GAC, right?
Yeah, right. I think that the license went away from Nickelodeon, and they snatched it up.
Yeah, Nintendo-lodeon.
Yeah. I mean, like, you get Mario Kart Racers.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Like, this thing writes itself, guys.
It's true.
There's no reason why we shouldn't have Super Mario World.
Where would it be?
I think
is it America or is it in Japan?
Well, I think you have to open two. I think you open one in like Southern California and one in Japan. Although Orlando seems to be the place where all the big parks are being opened now because I think real estate's a little squashed, a little scrunched in Southern California.
Right.
Although, you know, like Legoland got around that by building their theme park in northern San Diego County. Just got to find the land, man. Got to find the land with the plan. Oh, man. So many things. Like you know, Donkey Kong's Jungle Treehouse.
Mm-hmm. Big treehouse thing. Lots of bananas. Buy a frozen banana while you're there.
It's almost...
That's $7. That's an easy $7.
That's an easy $7, Nintendo.
You can't leave Donkey Kong Country without spending $7 on a frozen banana.
How could you... Like, literally, it's almost like Nintendo has spent the last 25 to 30 years just trying to make a theme park. Like, you could even have the water park attachment and make it Super Mario Sunshine Land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And you get, like, the water jetpack and you, like, squirt people. It writes itself, guys.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, man.
And they're, like, all the Mario Party games, it could be, like, the real versions of that.
Yeah. And, like...
And you could win prizes and stuff.
And so many things, like, you know, like, at PAX, like, console free play is such a fun thing to do.
Yeah, then you just go play some Nintendo.
Imagine... Yeah, you could... And they could have, like... Oh, they could have, like, the Duck Hunt game. Oh.
Or like, you kill real ducks? Or?
No, not real ducks. Geese.
Oh. Yeah.
Then you eat their livers. I think we all agree geese, guys. No, like at Disneyland, they have this the new ride, the Buzz Lightyear ride, where you like get in and you shoot. It's like a game ride, so you like go through, but you have a little gun and you shoot and you rack up points.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have that, but it could be for Duck Hunt, and you could be riding in one of the dogs. Oh man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean this thing rides itself.
It really does. Like this is a no-brainer, Nintendo. And like,
yeah, it's almost like, why hasn't this happened?
Yes. I mean, like I said, they've been building up to this thing for every game that they made.
But here's the thing. Nintendo was pretty good at deucing the bed with some layups. Like, Super Mario Super Show is streaming on Netflix, which was the 80s Mario, like, variety show that they put on / cartoon, and it is bad.
And let's not forget the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, the movie and the Zelda TV show. It seems like when they get out of their comfort zone, I don't know if it's like the committees are bad or like maybe they don't have a committee. They just give it to one person with a vision and that vision is bad. But somehow they keep screwing it up when they get out of the gaming world.
Give it to me. I'll do it.
Well, you're all right.
I'll do it,
Nintendo,
man.
Nintendo, you listening?
Super Mario Land, I am volunteering to become vice president of Nintendo Tourism.
But you know they'll move the Mariners down there.
Then I'll have to be involved. That's what they could do. They could move. This is sacrilegious me saying this. They could just move the Mariners somewhere else and build it at Safeco Field.
I think Safeco might be a little small.
They could rename the Mariners the Marios.
Yeah, they already called them Marineros.
Yeah, the Seattle Marios.
You're practically the Marios at this point.
Right. Oh, man. There's so many
there
opportunities.
There could be some sweet costumes there, like white pants. The jersey is like a... is like an overall top, you know? It looks like an overall top with like red sleeves.
Yeah, so they're like the fire costume.
Yeah, they're like the fire Mario.
Yeah. For the, yeah, then on the road they're the regular Mario with the blue pants and the red tops. Red hats.
That'd be awesome.
And then their alternate could be the Luigi's.
That might get me watching baseball.
Yeah, there you go. And then, you know, at the middle of, like, you know, in Milwaukee, they have the Wiener Run, and in Washington, D.C., they have the President's Run. Like, you could just have, like, Super Smash Brothers during the seventh inning stretch. Just bring out four random characters.
Yeah.
Oh! Falcon. Falcon Punch. Oh, I love
Falcon
it.
Punch.
Oh, my God, you could sell Falcon Punch out of, like, a soda machine?
That's such a good idea.
Chocolate Yoshi eggs?
They're like Kinder Surprises.
Oh, man.
They come with like Nintendo toy inside.
Yes.
Why aren't they doing this?
I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't do this. Like, it's so easy. And I would make the pilgrimage. Like, there's three things that have not happened yet that I would totally make the pilgrimage to go to. Lord of the Rings Land, Star Wars Land, and now Mario Land.
Right.
I will go. Just build it. If you build it, I will come. I promise.
Are you willing to spend $20 million?
Are you talking to me or Nintendo?
No, you.
Mm,
for the privilege of going.
I don't know about that. But
they should start it. Try and raise like a Bilzo or whatever.
Yeah, try to raise $1 billion on there have been things that have made $250 million.
Man, Kickstarter.
That's not true. That is completely untrue, by the way.
Those guys got to be so loaded, the Kickstarter guys.
You do realize that it's run by Amazon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Jeez. Amazon is like some sort of super, a sci-fi corporation from a dystopian future.
Yeah, they literally just sell everything, and they are very close to owning everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. They seem like all right dudes.
Yeah. The slogan, get lost in the Amazon. All right. Well, I think, like I said, this thing writes itself. If you guys have any ideas for this Super Mario Land, Super Mario World theme park, please send them our way. personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, what's your first topic?
Well, We're going to stick into video games here.
All right. I'm not going to play the theme song.
Okay. I actually thought you were going to talk about this.
Okay.
You brought up video games, so I'm pleasantly surprised. Have you heard about the Twitch Plays Pokemon?
I heard about it a little bit, just because Reddit could not stop gabbing.
It's one of the craziest things.
Okay,
ever.
Why?
Well, so last time I checked, basically it's, I accidentally said baby. So baby, it's twitch.tv is a website for like streaming stuff.
Yeah.
And it's got like a chat room. Uh-huh. So somehow they hooked up a game of Pokemon to Twitch TV, and it's controlled by people in the chat room typing commands like up, down, left, right, A, B.
Oh man.
Whatever. So whenever someone types up, it moves up, and whenever someone types down, it moves down, and so on. And there's, last time I checked, there were 90,000 people playing it at the same time. So it's like, when you look at the chat log, it just streams like in the Matrix, you know, when Neo could see like the code of the Matrix, and it's just like this constant flow of information. It looks like that, and then this guy in the one guy that they're controlling is moving based off of that, and
wow.
It is some sort of like kind of like a social experiment to see if it's even possible to get through the game, and people need to, you know, cooperate, and at the same time there's, you know, trolls trying, just hitting the start, you know, saying start to try and pause it and screw everything up.
Oh my god.
It's really wild. And when you watch it, the guy, like, he kind of walks around the screen, and you can tell he's trying to get somewhere, but then he'll go off on a little jag and get back and move up. And it only works because, like, the majority of people are actually trying to make this work, and they're fighting against the thousands of trolls who are trying to stop it. And so this game has been played for 6 days straight now.
Okay.
We just ticked over into the seventh day. And apparently they're making progress. I don't know enough about Pokemon to really be able to tell, but they're getting along.
I'm pretty sure you got to catch them all.
They're trying to catch them all.
Oh yeah, by the way, Pokemon is owned by Nintendo. Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. So you can just have Pokemon Snap World.
Pokemon Snap Ride! This is so great!
Yeah, that would be awesome.
This is working. This is a working concept. Okay, sorry.
So, it turns out certain parts of the game need a little bit more precision than is offered based off of thousands of people trying to do things at the same time.
Yeah.
So they worked in this new element yesterday where you can also type into the game, into the chat log, anarchy or democracy. And there's a bar at the top of the screen that is collecting votes and moving back and forth between anarchy and democracy. So basically, like, I've only seen it in anarchy. So when it's in anarchy mode, the bar needs to get to 75% for democracy before it switches over to democracy.
Oh,
when
wow.
It goes into democracy, it changes into a play mode where, like, every couple of seconds, it counts and tabulates all the input that it's received, and then it issues the command that got the most votes.
Uh-huh.
So that works for, like, more precision-based stuff, but it's slow. And then people, to, like, move around the map is faster when they get into anarchy mode. So people are also constantly not only moving the guy around, but voting anarchy versus democracy.
And I read on Polygon that apparently this thing, and this was, I think this was on Monday, I read this, that it got up to 65 million views.
Oh, man, I believe it. Yeah,
wow.
There's a lot of people watching. I just sat and watched for a while. It's hard to watch for too long because it's like nothing's actually happening.
Right.
I actually still haven't seen a real Pokemon fight. I've just watched the guy like moving around town and stuff.
Well, yeah, because you got to get to the tall grass. Before you get a random Pokemon attack, or else you got to get in a battle.
That's the name of the food court in Pokemon World.
Yep.
But it's pretty interesting. It's like a social experiment to see. There's nowhere else in the world where people are bigger pricks and assholes than on the internet.
Right.
So if you get 90,000 people,
except for the world. the world also.
I don't know. I feel like people are nicer in the meat space.
Okay.
Unless you know. You're in Ukraine right now.
Yeah, unless you're in the middle of a war zone. But well, carry yeah. on, carry on.
This does feel a little bit like a war zone.
Okay.
But the Allies are winning. Yeah. I guess, like, yesterday or the day before, they spent 25 hours in a single dungeon and, like, failed it. And so afterwards, they were expected to, like, have a democracy vote, right. But people still selected anarchy because I think people are latching on to the idea that this is an experiment and they don't want the democracy rules because it kind of negates how they feel the experiment should go.
Well, you got to also imagine that there are some savvy people out there who've just made anarchy bots that'll just sit there and say anarchy, 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 anarchy over and over.
Right. I mean, you could do the same thing with democracy, though.
Yeah, but who would do that for a democracy?
I don't know.
This does sound really interesting. It sounds like it does sound, I think you hit it on the head, that it sounds more like a social experiment than a gaming experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like,
you can't sit down and play this game. You will have such a minuscule impact on it that it's almost, you're not playing a game, you're just participating in an experiment.
God, I want to watch this now.
Yeah, Twitch.tv.
Uh-huh. I thought that it was
I just
over.
Like Google Twitch plays Pokemon.
I thought that it was over. I didn't realize it's still going on. How long is this thing going to go on for?
I guess until people either give up or they beat the game.
This is the funny thing because I saw something on Reddit today. It's like the next game that Twitch should do, and it was Quappy.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
That
at all.
Wouldn't work at all. It basically be Quap just flopping.
There's also
on the
there's like a 30-second lag time.
Oh, really?
Between the commands and what actually happens, because it's like going back to their server and then being broadcast on Twitch or whatever. So like, I guess the strategy there's like the strategy of hitting start as soon as something happens and trying to pause it, or I don't know. So it's definitely janky. But they're moving forward. I hope that they beat the game.
So do you have any ideas of some other games that you could try this with? Because, I mean, obviously, Pokemon's a good one because you spend a lot of time just walking around. And then the battles are all turn-based. But so something like Halo or even Skyrim probably wouldn't really work in this scenario.
No. I think there's a game called Rampart. That no one knows.
Uh-huh.
But or like Bomberman or something like that. I'd like to see like two teams play each other and see if maybe there would be more cooperation if the players were on teams to try and beat the other.
Now you're talking, Jesse. Bomberman two team Twitch.
Yeah, with like 45,000 people per team.
Cause like you gotta think like 30% of everybody on each team are saboteurs.
I think 30 is high, maybe like 10.
Okay, but you're going to have a lot of saboteurs on your team.
Right. You just gotta outweigh them. And then it'd be interesting to see if anarchy teams win because they're faster, but less predictable, or if democracy teams win, being slower, but more controlled.
I think you're onto something here, J-Dog.
That could be fun.
I like where your head's at. I was going to say Duck Hunt.
No one would hit anything.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe Pokemon Snap. Oh.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
All right, man. Well, let's move on to some trivia. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be doing Genus 1 of Trivia Pursuit. I'm going to be rolling a six-sided die to see which category we're doing this week. It is a 5, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Science and Nature. I like this
Radical.
Category. All right. First question here, Jesse, this one's for you. And it goes a little something like this. Who oversaw the design and assembly of the first atomic bomb?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to go with Einstein. J. Robert Oppenheimer. This question's for me. What is the term for any four-sided figure? I believe that is a quadrilateral.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll go with trapezoid.
Quadrilateral. All right, Jesse. We are 1-1 tied. Actually, trapezoid is a quadrilateral.
I understand that.
But a quadrilateral is not necessarily a trapezoid. All right, Jesse, this question's for you. Who spoke the first recorded message, "Mary had a little lamb"?
Oh, the first recorded message. I don't know if I know this. I guess I'll just say Alexander Thomas Edison.
Ah, damn it. Yeah, I'll go with RCA, dude. No, it's Thomas Edison. You got it. Very close. Very close there, Jesse. All right, this question...
I didn't take my finger off that answer. So.
This question's for me. I need it to tie. What grows in a paddy field? I'm going to go with rice.
Obviously, peppermint.
It is rice. All right, Jesse, we're 100% this week.
All right. Well, you know what that means.
Before. It means it's time for a geography tiebreaker. Please play along at home. Whoever is geographically closest to the answer will win. Jesse, you get to go first. The question is, what city is served by Tempelhof Airport? Tempelhof Airport.
I'll go with Zurich.
I'm going to go with Berlin. The answer is West Berlin.
I think you get that one.
Yeah, I believe that is geographically closest to Berlin. All right. Well, that was a good one, man. All right. I've been doing trivia every week now down at the pub. Been doing Geeks Who Drink, and I feel like my trivia chops are getting sharper. Flexing those muscles.
Cool.
Because, like, in high school, that was really the only sport that I cared about was knowledge bowl.
Not really a sport.
It is a sport.
It's a club.
No, you couldn't letter in it, but you could letter in literally honor society, but you couldn't letter in knowledge bowl. But regardless, it was the sport that I loved. And I have my shirt here. I'm very excited about it because part of Geeks Who Drink, they have a t-shirt competition. And I have my shirt here from the state tournament, my senior year of high school in 2004. And it has a date on it, March 27th, 2004. So for the Geeks Who Drink, I want to take it there on March 27th. I don't know if that's the day that I actually go, but at least that week and be like, this shirt is now a decade old from the Washington State Knowledge Bowl tournament.
That's pretty radical.
It's super radical, but not as radical as my next topic, which is video games again.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Finish him. So, Jesse, I kind of lied.
Mm?
It's not really about video games.
Mm.
It's about a game, though. It's about a game that a listener wrote in, Mr. James Patterson. We call him Jim. He wrote in and last week and gave us the Battle of the Wilsons.
Oh, I forgot about this.
We shan't forget about the Battle of the Wilsons here.
Right.
So, we talked about this all came about because we were talking about how much we love Russell Wilson because he is the greatest ever. But he also happens to share a last name with one Jesse Wilson, who is a host of this podcast.
Indeed.
So anyway, James decided, well, why don't we just figure out who the best Wilson is?
Right.
And made us a Wilson bracket. And so we got to go through this a little bit here. There's a few of these that I don't know, but maybe you know them.
No, I think we're going to have to look some of these up.
Okay.
Because I remember glancing over that and being like, who the hell are these guys?
I know most of them. I think I'm lost on two of them. But okay. So we're going to start at the bottom here. I'm assuming this is a tough one. I don't know if these are properly seated, James, but I appreciate the effort. So the first one is Wade Wilson, a.k.a. Deadpool, versus Russell Wilson.
Right. So, I mean, obviously it's not like in a fight to the death because
right.
I think Wade Wilson wins that one.
Right.
I mean, is the promise just like, premise just like all around best or
all
like
around
advancing
best.
Wilsondom?
Okay,
or?
So we need to put some criteria here for this.
Right.
Obviously, hair color is a criteria. Awesomeness. General awesomeness.
Right.
Style points. Wild card.
Wild card.
Okay, so we got hair color, general awesomeness, style points, and wild card. So let's go through this with Wade Wilson here. So hair color unknown. Is he bald? I think he's got a shaved head.
Not in the X-Men movie I saw. He looked a lot like Ryan Reynolds.
Well, yeah, but that was before they Deadpooled him.
That's true.
Okay, so but general awesomeness pretty high.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Style points high as well.
Very high.
And wild card super high because he breaks the fourth wall.
I'm giving him 0 on wild card.
Okay, why?
Because wild card is counting against him because he's not really a Wilson.
Oh.
He's not advancing Wilsondom in any way. So he's a Deadpool because he goes by he chooses to go by Deadpool when he has one of the, if not the greatest last name ever.
So I like this.
That's going to bite him.
I think that instead of wild card, we should look at Wilson-ness.
Yeah, Wilson-ness.
And he basically pitches a 0 on that.
Right.
And then Russell Wilson, black hair, not red, so doesn't get any points there.
No, but he does get points for his hair because he grew it out this season.
He did grow it out, and he single-handedly brought back the Jerry Curl.
Yeah, the Jerry Curl mullet, which is a good look.
Good look. Good look, Wilson. Okay, so he gets points there. He gets awesomeness. He's just plain awesome.
10 out of 10, yeah.
10 out of 10 there. Style points?
I think he's got style points. Running around the field. He got mentioned in a... what's that rapper? Eminem song?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I'm going to give him a 9 because he did fumble in that game against the 49ers. Not very stylish. But the Wilson-ness, 10 out of 10, he moves on, I think.
Yeah, Russell Wilson defeats Wade Wilson, a.k.a. Deadpool, mostly because of the a.k.a. part,
most,
I think.
Yeah. All right, so up next we got Luke Wilson versus Owen Wilson, the Wilson brothers.
Classic grudge match.
Yeah. So they basically, I think, fall pretty similarly on all categories except for hair color. So Luke is brown hair, Owen is blonde hair, but I don't think it's real blonde hair.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Hmm.
And I think just because of that, I think Luke Wilson moves on.
I'm okay with Luke Wilson. Also, Luke Wilson could double as Luke Wilson with 2 L's.
There you go.
Tight end, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. Go Wilson to Wilson, my favorite hookup. All right. Up next, we got Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace, famously played by Walter Matthau in the Dennis the Menace 90s remake, versus Wilson Syndrome. Do you know what Wilson Syndrome is?
No, let's look this one up.
Apparently, it's Wilson's disease. It's a... a herpetecular degeneration. It's an eye disease in which copper accumulates in tissues. Whew, neurological or psychiatric symptoms and liver disease. Oh my, okay, so that loses on hair color and a general awesomeness. I think that by default, Mr. Wilson moves on.
Mm-hmm. He also scores big points in Wilsondom because my whole life have been plagued by the whole Mr. Wilson thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Mr. Wilson!
It's true.
So I don't know if that's good or bad, but it definitely is associated with the name.
That's true. All right. Does anybody know what Mr. Wilson's first name is?
No.
I think he gets an 11 out of 10 on the
Wilson.
Yeah,
he sacrificed his first name.
Right. All right. Up next, we got Woodrow Wilson versus Jackie Wilson. Woodrow Wilson, victor of the First World War as president. Jackie Wilson, famous R&B singer, most famous hit. Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher. Great song.
I don't know if I'm familiar.
Your love lifting me higher.
Oh.
Than I ever been lifted before. So keep it up. Does that rattle your memory there?
Yeah. Shook something loose.
I think that as awesome as that song is, and it was the second song that I played at my wedding. So good. Woodrow Wilson, I think, takes the cake here.
I agree.
Just for winning the First World War.
Winning the First World War and only president named Wilson. So getting
that's
Wilson
true.
In the name of American presidential presidents.
Yes.
So that's big points there.
Okay. Up next we have Brian Wilson, who is the brains behind the Beach Boys. versus Wilson's spiny mouse, which is a species of rodent in the family Muridae. It is found in Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, Sudan, Tanzania, and Uganda. Its natural habitats are dry savanna, tropical or subtropical, dry shrubland, and rocky areas. So that mouse versus Brian Wilson.
Yeah. As much as I like the mouse, I'm going with Brian Wilson on this one just because of the like colonialism aspect of naming the mouse.
Yeah.
After a white guy, presumably. I don't know, but
presumably. Presumably a white pasty redhead.
Right. Like
as
like,
all Wilsons are.
Like me.
Okay. up next we got Wilson from Home Improvement.
Wilson. So that's a man who doubled down.
I believe his name is Wilson.
Oh, I think you're right.
Versus Mookie Wilson, baseball player for the Mets. Jesse, I think I know which way you're going for this.
Yeah,
one.
We got to go to... I call him Tri-Dub.
Yeah, Wilson. He brought the Wilson hard.
About as hard as possible.
Yeah. Up next, we got Wilson Phillips, the famous three-person lady singing group from the early 90s, versus Rainn Wilson, Dwight in the Office, and Seattle native.
I don't know. I think I might have to defer to your judgment on this one. What do you think?
It's a little tough because Wilson Phillips was one of the only tapes that our family owned as a child. So I got a lot of Wilson Phillips on family road trips. Not to mention, Wilson Phillips is made up of Brian Wilson's daughter. Brian Wilson has already moved on in this competition. However, wow. I haven't met Wilson Phillips, and I have met Rainn Wilson. See, I believe, episode 26 of the Personal Arrogance podcast for my interview with Rainn Wilson. And when I met him, he was wearing a Mariners hat. I got to give it to Rain.
Wow. Hometown hero.
Hometown hero, Rainn Wilson. Okay, and then finally we got Personal Arrogance Jesse Wilson versus the other pasty redhead Wilson, the volleyball from Castaway.
Technically, as much as it pains me to say it, I mean, that Wilson takes Wilsondom up to like a 20.
He does.
One of the most memorable lines from that movie is the protagonist just screaming Wilson.
Yeah, and it almost makes you cry.
Plus, he's got the branding behind him.
Right.
I gotta give this one to the volleyball.
Okay, cool. We got the final four here. We're gonna speed through this. We got Russell Wilson versus Luke Wilson. I think Russell takes the cake there.
Yeah.
We got Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace versus Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow.
Okay, we got Brian Wilson versus Tri-Dubs. Tri-Dubs.
Yeah.
And then Rainn Wilson versus the volleyball. I think the volleyball wins out
volleyball,
there.
Volleyball, yeah.
Okay. This is the big one. Oh, I guess this is the final four. Russell Wilson versus Woodrow Wilson.
Ooh, this is so tough. Yeah. I got so much invested in this. My heart is telling me Woodrow. What
really?
Do you think?
My heart's leaning... to the only second, I guess not the only second year. The only second year quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl for the Seahawks. But are we being too biased? I mean, we have an established legacy versus the beginning of a legacy. I think you got to go established here with Woodrow Wilson and the glasses.
I'll take it.
Okay. And then we got
good
the
effort though, buddy. Russell.
I think this is the battle of the tournament. The volleyball versus Tri-Dubs. Wilson from Home Improvement.
Ugh.
Wow.
This is too close to home for me.
It's rough.
My instinct is Tri-Dub.
My instinct is Tri-Dub as well, and it's tough because the volleyball may be the most prolific Wilson of all time. But Tri-Dub brings it so hard and then also gives you a nice morality lesson at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, Home Improvement, so many people watched that.
Right. That was a seminal sitcom of our childhood.
And, yeah, he played such a key figure.
Yeah, every episode, the voice of reason.
He shed an air of mystery over the entire Wilsondom.
Right. All right, dude, I think we're giving it to Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Tri-Dubs versus
championship round.
Tri-Dubs versus Woodrow for the championship, and I got to give it to Tri-Dubs.
I'm thinking Woody.
Wow. All right.
It's a dead heat. Only the listeners can decide.
Only the listeners can decide. All right, listeners, you got to weigh in on this. Who is winning? Wilson, Wilson, Wilson from Home Improvement versus Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States and winner of World War One. The Wilson battle is in your hands. Jesse getting knocked off in the first round, but he had such a tough competition there.
Who could I have even beat on that? I'm not sure.
You would have beat Mookie.
Yeah, I might have beat the mouse.
You would have beat Wilson syndrome.
I might have beat the disease.
Yeah. But maybe Owen.
Thanks.
Definitely not Wilson Phillips. Okay, Jesse. So that's the Wilson battle, guys. Please get in touch with us. Let us know on our Facebook page or by emailing us at personalarrogance@gmail.com or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024, and let us know which Wilson wins and why. It is Woodrow Wilson, WW, versus Wilson, 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 WWW.
Just go to www.wwww.w. We got the rare.w domain.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty excited about that.
It's a new domain. It's run by George W. Bush. All right, Jesse, what's your second topic?
I got some cool animal news that might fall under science.
Woo!
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. So I feel like animals are just getting cooler every day.
Yeah, dude.
Like octopi are getting like smarter and more savvy and cool and, you know.
Just every day.
Apes and stuff.
More hipster octopi are infiltrating the oceans.
So the hip animal of this week is Asian elephants.
Oh, yeah.
Because researchers in Thailand have found that when an Asian elephant can tell that another one is in distress, so when it could be like, hey, buddy, what's wrong?
Yeah.
It reaches a stressed out friend by touching it and talking to it.
Awesome.
So the study looked at 26 captive elephants in Thailand over the course of 1 year, and because stressful situations can't be staged exactly, that's debatable.
Researchers they are captive elephants. I think that they're probably always stressed out.
They're always pretty stressed out. Yeah. Researchers spent between 30 and 180 minutes a day watching the elephant's behavior. Mm-hmm. When the occasional stressful situation would arise, the scientists noticed elephants showed clear signs of distress, such as flaring their ears and roaring. So once a nearby elephant caught wind of their companion's anxiety, the observers saw they would adopt that same emotion just like humans do. So elephant A gets stressed out, then elephant B sees stressed out elephant and is like, ugh, that stresses me out. So after mimicking their fear, researchers saw the elephants move closer to one another, caress one another with their trunks, and chirp reassuringly.
Mm.
So they're saying it's something like how you might console a baby and like rock it and go, shh, you know, it's okay, hush, hush, hush. And elephants are doing this to each other because they're elephant bros.
Yeah, they don't have empathy. They have elephempathy.
Yeah, that just rolls off the trunk.
Right off.
I don't know if that deserved that kind of
That
response.
Was good. I loved it.
Thanks.
I love it, man. And elephants, you know, in the wild, in the African savannah, it has been shown that elephants hold funerals for other elephants when they die. Mm-hmm.
And they can, like, talk over long distances.
Yeah. Well, because they've learned how to use cell phones.
Yeah. And paint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They
I feel
paint
like
crazy.
Elephants are creeping up on dolphins when people are like, they're the second smartest animal on Earth. I kind of think elephants are smarter than dolphins.
So this is a big question in my mind. So, I mean, we talked about this so much before, you know, with the blackfish, talking about the orca whales, talking about dolphins, talking about cuttlefish, and now talking about elephants. It's just crazy to me that, like, we can't, like, humans are so emotional. We're emotional to the point where our emotions are a problem for us a lot of times.
Yeah, certainly.
But, like, at least we can express things and, like, talk to ourselves and be like, okay, this situation is very stressful, but what, you know, we just got to take a deep breath and, you know, get through it or talk to each other. You know, talking is such a big part of it.
Can we really, though?
Well,
I feel like a lot of people, that's their problem, is that they can't.
Yeah.
They don't have a buddy who puts their trunk on them and chirps.
Well, but this is the crazy thing. Like, this behavior seems to be more, it seems to be more endemic than we give animals credit for.
Right.
And like, it what it shows to me, at least, and you know, this is just the layman's opinion here, is that, these are traits that go back much further than, humans, you know, walking upright.
They go back to whatever the common ancestor between us and dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
That is when those sort of things start to develop.
Yeah, like, you know, just the act of hugging people.
Right.
Like, hugging is in itself kind of a weird activity, but we do it because it's comforting, because it fulfills some kind of animal instinct, really.
Like, right,
these are
yeah.
things that we think of as strictly human, but I think that these things go back a lot further than you know, what we initially think that they do.
Yeah, I always think that's weird. Like, I have eyeballs,
uh-huh.
and like a fish has eyeballs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like humans and fish independently evolved eyeballs. So if you go back far enough, there's like a common ancestor of humans and fish that had eyeballs.
Just a couple of eyeballs.
And then we like spread out, you know, from there on. And then like,
yeah, well, eyeballs were like
we have four limbs the same way like a naked mole rat has four limbs. So
right.
if you go back far enough, there's a common ancestor that, you know, went one way and ended up being naked mole rats, and went another way, ended up being naked apes.
I love naked apes. That's like a great name for humans.
Yeah, that's not an original.
Oh, it's not a JW original.
Yeah, it's a Woodrow Wilson, I think, coined that one.
Okay. I thought I heard it on Home Improvement, but
I always get those mixed up.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you think about it, like, eyes are such an evolutionary advantage.
Right.
To be able to have visual on the world around you that correlates to your touch, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay, so I can see this, and then I can touch it, which means that I can see what I'm touching. Like,
eyeballs are, like, the craziest thing.
Oh, they're insane, man.
So, like, at some point, there was, like, there must have just been, like, super sensitive parts of the skin that could mm-hmm. kind of see, like, light versus darkness.
Yeah.
And those love to be so perceptive that, you know, we can just see light bouncing off of something and turn into color and then process that.
Right.
We're just seeing, like light.
Right.
Bouncing around, and it bounces off of our eyeballs, and then it becomes a vision.
Well, this is, I mean, any sense is crazy when you really think about it.
It is true.
I mean, ears are the craziest thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, ears are basically just, you're able to interpret
vibrations get stuck in there.
In a way that your brain then translates into sound. And the whole vast array of sound around you is just like little membranes that understand vibrations and then transmit them to your brain in a way that separates them from signals, say, that you see with your eyes.
Well, what about smell, though? Like, little
yeah.
particles of things land in my nose,
right.
and then, like, that somehow neurochemically gets translated to me in a way where I'm like, oh, cookies!
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, and, like, really all of it goes to a part of your brain where that recognizes memory. You know, part of the thing that, you know, when I was going through my post-high school trying to understand and expand my mind a little bit phase, I was like...
You can just eat drugs.
Yeah, I was just like, man, like, why do we dream? Or, like, why do we have, like, drugs that make us hallucinate, right? But if you think about it, you have to be able to visualize. That's the way your body works. Like, we don't just remember something by remembering words. In fact, it's very difficult for us to remember just words.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can remember, associate a smell or something you see or something you feel, like the feeling of sandpaper, uh-huh. or like, you know, the example I always give is like, to our listeners, like, think of a giraffe. So you could see a giraffe. You can see a giraffe, you can see its feet, you can go all the way up its legs, you can go all the way up its neck, you can look, imagine what its fur looks like, imagine what its mouth looks like, imagine it eating something. You're seeing all of this, but you're not actually seeing it, but you have this visual part of your memory that's, you know, grabbing that.
Right.
So it all kind of goes to the center of the brain that stores that information in a way that you can recall it without actually seeing it, which is...
In the form of just like electrons bouncing around your brain.
Yeah. It's just all crazy, man. It's cray-cray.
It is really crazy.
So anyway, elephants.
Yeah, elephants are cool.
Elephants are sweet, man. And, you know, this actually falls right in line with the new initiative that I'm doing. And it kind of goes along with what we had talked about last week. In fact, I started after our podcast last week, after our social commentary section of, like, all of these terrible Facebook posts and, like, hate-watching stuff.
Right.
I decided I'm just going to put something up on Facebook every day that is completely non-controversial, that is educational, that is interesting, and that is just something there for everybody.
It's so like the stuff you should know of Facebook posts.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even less than that, because I don't even do any commentary.
Right.
All I do, so I've been doing this thing called Eric's Animal of the Day. Every day, I pick an animal, I post the name of the animal and a picture of the animal, and then in the comments, I link to the Wikipedia page for that animal. And that's it. And it's gotten, like, a great response so far. People love it. We started off with the, what did we start off with? Oh, the poison dart frog from South America.
Right.
Then we went to the cuttlefish. Then, we went to I did cuttlefish for Valentine's Day.
Good one.
Cuddle up to the cuttlefish. Yesterday we did the Japanese macaque, which is those monkeys that go in the hot springs. And today we did the African wild dog.
Did you know? I always thought that like they evolved near hot springs or whatever.
Mm-mm.
But those are like it was a tourist thing, and the monkeys moved in.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing about the Japanese macaques is that they also had an experiment where they would give them sweet potatoes. And, like, there was one monkey who would take the sweet potato and instead of just eating it or dusting it off, would wash it off in the water.
Right.
And then in fresh water, and then take it in the salt water and dip it in the salt water to season it and then eat it. And
that's
awesome.
This
was one monkey. And then within two generations, every single monkey also did the same thing when they gave them sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, basically every invention in the history of humanity is tangentially related to eating.
Mm-hmm.
It's about eating or killing something to eat or cooking things or living a lifestyle that gives you more time to eat or living a lifestyle where you have more money to buy food.
Exactly.
It's all about eating.
It really is, man. Oh, that foie gras.
But the other cool thing about those Japanese monkeys is that after they started moving in on the tourist destination hot tubs, they built hot tubs just for the monkeys.
Yeah, because it was actually more of a tourism thing than there were hot tubs originally were.
Yeah, come watch the hot tub and monkeys. Also, we got human hot tubs for you.
Exactly. Yeah, man, I freaking love it. I love it,
You can't just stand around watching those monkeys in hot tubs before you're like, man, I wish I was in a hot tub.
You can't. It's like going, like, you can't go to, like, whenever I go to the pool with my clothes on, I'm like, why did I wear my clothes?
What?
Like,
how
if you're at a hotel and you're like, oh, I'll just come sit by the pool. Everybody's going to the pool. I don't really feel like swimming. I'm just going to go sit by the pool in my clothes. I go, I sit, and within 2 minutes, I'm like, I should have brought my swimsuit.
Yeah, I know myself well enough that I'm like, I'll get in my trunks, but I don't think I'm going to swim.
Right. And then, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah. I'm getting in.
That's exactly the train of thought that went through the Japanese macaques when they first got there. It looks okay, but I don't really want to get wet.
I'm just going to watch. Screw it. I'll jump in.
So, anyway, Eric's Animal of the Day for my friends on Facebook.
Yeah, look forward to that.
I've been enjoying it. All right, man. Well, also look forward to what's happening on ballmove.com. Guys, so much stuff is crazy blowing up on ballmove.com, okay? So first of all, Aaron and Jim spent all weekend binge-watching / binge-casting every episode of the new season of House of Cards. 13 episodes. The show dropped on Friday. They've already got the whole season covered for you on baldmove.com, so check that out. Of course, Watching Dead is on right now. They just put up the episode for Inmates. The most recent episode of Watching Dead is up there. Up Yours Downstairs is happening. They're covering Downton Abbey, of course, and then the Because So Ladies are blowing it up as well. Guys, so much stuff going on at baldmove.com. Also want to remind you that we are going to be having the Bald Move Meetup coming up very soon, March 1st at 7 o'clock at Stone Brewing Company in San Diego, California. We are going to be there. It is me, it is Aaron, it is Jim, it is Geraldine, it is Susan, it is Amy from the Bald Move Network. We're all going to be there. You should be there too. So be sure to RSVP on our Facebook page so that we know you're coming, and we'll have a seat for you. And then you can always get in touch with us, guys. We are, of course, as mentioned before, on Gmail, on the Gmail, personalergots@gmail.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. We are on Twitter at Personal Podcast. We are on the Ball Move Facebook page and the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. Like us on both to get all of the info. And then, of course, rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us out a ton. If you do that, it moves us up on those iTunes rankings. If you want to support the show, that's a great way to do it. And, of course, if you can't do any of that, just tell a friend, guys. Spread the word and make this Personal Arrogance community a little bit bigger. Speaking of that, each week we go on Facebook and we post that we are recording and ask you what you would like us to talk about in a little segment we call the Facebook Roundup. We got a good response this week, so let's pour through them. First of all, Joe says, why is Luck so much better than Wilson's smiley face?
It's in the name.
I guess so.
It's hard to beat that for a name in the NFL.
I mean, Wilson is an amazing last name, but sometimes you luck into a name.
Yeah, there you go. It also lends itself to headlines really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he gets injured and he's out for the season, out of luck. You know.
Or, like, if he does something amazing like he did in the playoffs against the Chiefs, you could say, stroke of luck.
Uh-huh. Lucky shot.
Yep.
There's all sorts of good stuff there for the
lucky
headlines.
Lucky strike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris.
He stages a single player walkout on the NFL.
Perfect.
It's called Boeing.
Chris says, did Jesse try Hearthstone yet? I'm so addicted right now. Jesse, what do you think of Hearthstone?
All right, let's talk about this.
All right.
I'm playing it a lot.
Uh-huh.
At first, I didn't like it. And I think the reason I didn't like it is because I was playing it and being like, this isn't Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be, like, playing Magic. I was also getting a little bit of, like, neuro-linguistic confusion or something because I'd be like, well, I'll leave these. I don't need to attack because I don't want to tap these guys out. Leave them for blocking so I can defend my guys. Like, oh, wait, they can just go around me.
Right.
But the more I play, the more I'm actually liking it for what it is itself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to finally like get my deck where I want it, and I started playing it online. I'm not doing well playing against other players, but I've gotten a couple of wins.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize you get rewarded with gold pretty easily that you can use on packs or playing in the arena and stuff. So I'm actually really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, the free-to-play thing, dude, I haven't spent a dime yet, and I've put a couple more hours into it.
Yeah, haven't spent a dime. I've played it a lot today, and yeah, I'm kind of into it. I was expecting to hate it, but I just kept playing, and the more I played, the more I like it.
What class are you playing with your deck?
Mage.
Yeah, I'm playing Mage, too. I've unlocked all the decks, but I'm dabbling in Hunter. I'm dabbling in Hunter, but my Mage deck is pretty strong, so...
I just like, that would be the one I would select anyway, because I like control decks.
Yeah.
Like in Magic, you know, the Mage is totally the blue deck.
Yeah, that's why I play Mage with Taunt, with like a Taunt-centric deck. That's pretty
well. Yeah, I did that too. I've kind of gotten away from that in favor of like getting the Magicians out there to have more powerful spells.
Right.
Which is fun.
Anyway, pretty good game, guys. It's free. If you haven't tried it, try it. Robert says, favorite Winter Olympic sport? I like downhill skiing. Those guys get up to 80 miles an hour. New slope-style snowboarding is cool, too. I don't think you could beat biathlon.
Yeah, biathlon's tough. Curling, awesome. Hockey, I was watching the Finland-Canada game.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. Tasha and I were watching the skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a crazy sport.
I think it looks awesome, dude.
Yeah, it is awesome. But they go like 60.
Yeah, they're going fast.
They're so fast with your face just right there by the ice.
Right. Well, you don't put your face down. It's fine.
Yeah.
Try not to. We were watching bobsledding last night, and I was like, I think that if I could do any sport, I feel like I could do bobsledding. Because you,
yeah.
Like, there's
pretty streamlined.
There's a position in bobsledding called the brake man. And mm-hmm. You basically just got to be a big dude at the back of the bobsled, and you just run as fast as you can. Then you get in the bobsled, and then you just keep your head down until it's over, and then you hit the brakes. I feel like I could do that. They just need big dudes. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what I could do.
Ice dancing?
Yeah, probably.
Aaron says, or Aaron, or I can't even say Aaron anymore. Aaron. Aaron has screwed up this name for me. Aaron says, okay, so a few weeks ago, you guys were trying to remember the whole get off my back thing and how it originated. For some reason, my stupid brain remembers random things like this. It was Josh from Texas returning a voicemail to you guys because his previous voicemail was hard to hear because he was driving with the windows down, and he called back to explain. He then ended his voicemail in the infamous phrase, sorry if that was long or pointless, but it's been bugging me ever since you guys were discussing it, and I had to just put it out there. Anyway, congrats on the Super Bowl. Stay arrogant, and of course, get off my back. Aaron.
Thank you.
I think I need you for my Geeks Who Drink Bowl team, if you remember stuff like that. You
the got, ultimate trivia
you
right
got a
there.
Velcro brain, my friend. David says, because I really enjoy the topics you tend to talk about, and at work can listen to the radio. In my case, I listen to podcasts. Therefore, I decided to start listening back through your catalog of your podcasts on the Apple Podcast app. The first episode you can listen to is 106 when you guys first joined Bald Move. Where can I find the previous 105 if they still exist? Also interested in a personal ergots fantasy baseball league if anybody does that. Thank you guys. Keep up the great podcast. You can actually go to either personalarrogance.podbean.com to access those back episodes, or you can go to personalarrogance.com and all the episodes are on there as well. So if you want the back catalog, there it is. We don't recommend it. Rob says, is there a job for me in the Great Northwest? Rob Zip's looking for a new job. Yeah, if you work for Amazon, there definitely is. Mammoth archaeologists? Big thing going there. It might be a new Nintendo park in downtown Seattle.
There are a lot of people that work at Nintendo in Bellevue.
Yeah, that's true. Nintendo America is located here in the Seattle area.
And they're doing all right.
Oh, God. They're looking to hire. Jonathan says, Jesse, I know you mentioned you listen to Bill Burr's podcast. I wanted to know what you thought about him always shitting all over Seattle and the 12th man. Do you guys think the 12th man is overrated? I personally like it, but then again, Bill Burr is one angry ginger, also one angry ginger of the year. It's podcast. Jesse, what do you think of this Bill Burr 12th man hate?
Yeah, he hates on the 12th man, but I understand it. It's fine. I still like the 12th man thing. I thought it was a little hokey at first, mm-hmm. but then I learned about like the tradition behind it, and I still think it's cool. One thing he does hate on is like the people who dress up and go to the stadium. It like happened at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. People were wearing like crazy costumes and suits. I like the Hulk guy because the Hulk guy is always there.
Right.
Even when the Hawks are doing bad.
Yep.
But I don't like the whole dressing up in a crazy costume to go watch the Seahawks play. And he likened it to the black hole of the Raiders. And I was like, ooh, that stings. That stings.
Well, but isn't he from Boston?
Yeah.
Okay, Boston sports fans cannot bitch about any other sports fans.
Well, he makes fun of like the whole Sweet Caroline thing. He makes fun of everything. That's the thing. He's just spreading it around. I'm okay with it.
All right. Well, JM says, I'm running a few weeks behind, so you guys might have mentioned this already, but are there any plans for a Bald Move fantasy baseball league? Apparently, this is big. He's got a copy of Baseball Prospectus, and I'm working on my draft order. We are not doing an official baseball league. I'm not going to commission a baseball league. But if one of our listeners would like to set up a Personal Arrogance Baseball league. Baseball league.
Baseball's a painful sport.
Yeah, I will join it, and whoever sets it up can commission. I'm just not going to commission because fantasy baseball is just too time-consuming to commission. But if somebody wants to commission a league, I will join it, and then we'll open it up to our listeners. Just want to put that out there. Matt says, further investigation. This is great.
Yeah.
Canadian breakfast. Good. After minutes upon minutes of research on Urban Dictionary, I have narrowed down the definition to the Canadian breakfast that you could possibly be responsible for. It either involves a mousse and some yogurt or a headstand along with a beer. Left out the other stuff is this is a family show, sort of. So which one is it? Matt, first of all, great sleuthing.
You are correct.
There, you have narrowed it down. We are included in those two. There are five definitions for Canadian breakfast on Urban Dictionary, and he picked two of them, and we are included.
I wonder what excluded us from the other ones.
I don't know. I read through them. I think that they were just too generic.
Ah.
These two were very specific. I don't know if, I mean, he did the work, right?
Yeah. Let's it's just the say beer one.
It's the one that includes beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good on you, Matt. Good follow up there. James says, what did you do to honor International Pangolin Day? Apparently the pangolin, it's like an armadillo-type creature that resides in Africa and Asia.
I call it the Wilson lizard.
Well, I think that I didn't do anything to celebrate it, but I think that the pangolin might be coming up very soon on Eric's Animal of the Day.
Sweet.
And finally, Michael says, oh, he wants to take a picture of our podcasting. That's personal. That's personal, Michael.
Personal arrogance.
Personal arrogance. Getting it all out there. Guys, thank you so much. Once again, find us on our Facebook page. We have our Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We have a pretty robust little community coming along here. So join it and be a part of the Facebook roundup. Now, Jesse, it's time for some recos and call it a cast. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. My first recommendation, we got to it earlier, but Stuff You Should Know is still a really fantastic podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn, you get a little bit smarter every time you listen.
And it's like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, it's my favorite one to listen to like on road trips and stuff, like when I'm driving to Bremerton or whatever.
Good on ya. I'm going to give this one to, I believe that the thing is called The Price of Gold, but it's the Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix just recommended that one to me.
It's so good. And it is also, you really hate Tanya Harding coming out of it. Like, I was talking about this to my sister.
Who's the
last
one
night
that committed the crime?
Okay, so Tanya Harding's husband's friend hired a hitman to carry out the crime.
Yeah. Her husband's friend?
Her husband's friend.
Why did the friend do it?
Because they needed to separate it.
Oh, it wasn't like this person's idea. She went to her husband went to the friend, and the friend hired the hitman.
That's the most likely scenario. That's not confirmed. And
did
Tanya,
she ever like do jail time over this?
She got 3 years probation for inhibiting the investigation. She never had any conviction that dealt directly with the crime, only covering up the investigation.
Weird.
But you just watch her, and she is the most villainous villain. Like, it's just like watching an evil person.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this.
It's crazy. And I vividly remember watching, because like as mentioned on the last podcast, like my family, we watched figure skating. Like, my mom watched it religiously, so I watched a ton of figure skating when I was a kid. And I remember vividly watching it live and watching Nancy Kerrigan and her knee get all bashed.
Wait, you saw her get hit?
No, you didn't see her get hit, but they had the camera on her right after it happened. She's like moaning on the ground because it's a sports broadcast. So if people have
where did it happen?
It happened at
the rink.
Yeah, it happened at the U.S. Championships.
That's so
right before
crazy.
She was going to go out to do her program. She was wearing her like leotard and her tights, like she was wearing her costume.
And they thought they would get away with it?
They're a bunch of dum-dums.
I'm going to have to watch this.
It's an amazing documentary. And if you don't come out hating Tanya Harding after this, then you need an elephant to wrap around your shoulder and tell you what empathy means. Anyway, do you have a seco reco, Jesse?
I do have a seco. I forgot. I'm going to have a third one. But first, I want to tell you about Rosavina Pottery. That's my first recommendation, mm-hmm. or second. If you go to Etsy and type in R-O-S-E space A-V-E-N-A, you can buy my wife's sweet pottery. It's all handmade by her on the wheel, glazed by her, and fired up in the kiln in our house. And it's a great way to buy some cool handmade pottery, and it helps us out a little bit. Or
do
me.
It.
Doesn't help out Eric, but...
It helps out the podcast right. collectively, because I think that, you know, what helps one helps all.
Totally. One hand helps the other.
That's what I'm saying.
But my my next one is another documentary. I forgot about it until we were talking about Netflix documentaries. Life 2.0. Have you seen this one?
It's the one about Second Life?
Yeah, it's about Second Life. It's really fascinating.
I know.
It follows... Did you watch it?
Yes. Yeah.
It's cool. It follows three groups of people, like a couple who are... They're married to other people.
Right.
They meet on Second Life. And then you follow how that kind of works. And then this guy who plays a little girl and is kind of using it as a almost therapeutic thing to deal with, you know, issues from his past. And then a woman who sells items that she's made on Second Life. And then someone is stealing her business. And it's really fascinating. Totally worth watching. That's Life 2.0.
Pretty crazy. And then my Sekireko this week is going to be, you know, The Hobbit: Desolation of Smaug. If you haven't seen it, see it. I think I gave it, you know, I think it's a see it. Like I said, it's a Lord of the Rings one, but it also goes, since you did three, I'm going to do three. My third one is Dungeons and Dragons 3.5.
Been digging in it, huh?
The definitive edition. We are going to be starting up a campaign very soon.
I'm excited.
I have my character. I'm very excited. I love where my character is at. I feel like I have a personal connection to him already, and we haven't even rolled the dice yet on this particular campaign. So Jesse's going to be DMing it. I'm going to be playing it along with some other bald movers, and I'm very, very excited about it. So if you haven't played Dungeons & Dragons, find somebody who has DM 3.5 and play 3.5. It's the best edition.
Don't play 4.
Don't play 4.
4 is Garbage on Ice.
3.5, baby. All right.
Garbage on Ice could also be the name of the documentary.
That's true. No, it's like there's this fascinating thing about Tonya Harding is that, you know, she was kind of like the trailer trash, you know, in quotation marks.
So Nancy was the one that got hit?
Yeah, and she was like the ice princess. And Tonya Harding was like... She was like really athletic, but then she was also came from very, very humble beginnings. They like show a home video of her house, before, you know, when she was a child, and it's depressing. It's real depressing. It's like, it almost looks like a hoarder house.
No. God, I'm gonna watch this. I might watch it tonight.
And like this is the environment. So it talks about Tonya Harding, like how she grew up in like an abusive home, and then she married an abusive husband, and there's so many layers to this thing. But she's also a dirty liar. She's just a terrible liar. Anyway, you gotta watch this documentary. It's hard not to have an opinion after you watch it.
And it's called Garbage on Ice.
Garbage on Ice. Okay. Well, I think that's the show, man.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's spank it on the bottom and send it on its way. Listener, thank you so much. Please stay in touch. PersonalArguments@gmail.com, 360-362-0024. And until next time, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please
stay
arrogant. The